Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Father, we just thank you for the word. We thank you for what you're going to do. Help me bring this word into transformation and help me minister with your fire. And everyone said, amen, amen. We have our miracle offering coming up as well. I forgot to mention it earlier today. On the 25th of April, and every year we take up a miracle offering. Our tithes and offerings cover the day-to-day running of our church, and the miracle offering helps us expand the church, helps us expand the kingdom for some equipment we may need, maybe some personnel, to look after the growing church family that we're seeing. In the morning, we're overflowing. At night, it's our first Sunday night kicking off of the year, and we know when we left it at 2023, this was also full, and so therefore, we would love to see what God can do through all of us as we partner with what God wants to see happen in this house and beyond. We also give to local charities and to our overseas missions. So we want to say thank you, church, for your giving last year. It really did help us expand into new territories as well. There's new areas we're looking at as a campus, and more details will follow in due time. Next week, we have Pastor Dan in the house, 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. Who's looking forward to seeing Pastor Dan again? Very good. And then let's come to the word now. Yes, so thank you. I had a bit of a malfunction with the technology this morning, as I think the internet was struggling. But let's see how this goes. 2023, what was our word for the year? It was revival now. And then yes, 2024, it is ascend. Thank you, Lord. Maybe with less people, there's more bandwidth to share. Praise God. And let's go to Psalm 24 if you have your Bibles with you, or otherwise it's on the screen. It says this: the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and he established it on the waters. Make no mistake, this is the Lord's. The whole earth is the Lord's and everything in it and all who dwell in it, right? But he's looking for those who are wanting to ascend. Who may ascend? Everyone say ascend. Ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Who may stand in his holy place, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Everyone say, seek his face. We are here to seek the Lord's face. I love, you know, we're in a 21-day season of prayer and fasting. And previous years, we've had daily topics on what we should focus on. And there's nothing wrong with that. I encourage you, pray for your family, pray for your workplaces, your lost children who aren't with the Lord anymore. Pray for your health, pray for your business and all that kind of stuff. But we sense this year, it is purely just seeking the Lord's face and what he wants from us, what he wants for us. And so we're really honing in on Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. And everyone, let's say it together. He is the King of glory. And initially we kind of thought maybe the word for the year, because you want to narrow it down to something easy and simple. Habakkuk says, write the vision down, make it plain so you may run with it. You know, the original translation is that so a horse rider we'll be riding along and we'll see the vision written down so plainly that he would understand and he can continue to run with that. And so initially we thought maybe it's the King of glory, right? We had revival now. Now we want the King of glory to step and dwell in our meetings, in all that we do, in our everyday lives. But before we can have the King of glory in, I think it makes sense that we actually ascend to the hill of the Lord. We had Pastor Todd Smith and Karen Smith here last year. He's become a bit of a father in the faith, and we catch up on a monthly basis. And because he's stepped into something special that the Lord has he's been entrusted with in terms of revival, He's had revival generals and legends in the faith like John Kilpatrick from Pensacola, and also Randy Clark from the Toronto Blessing. And these ministries, these revivals, have birthed ministries like Iris Global with Heidi Baker, Bethel Ministries with Bill Johnson, Catching the Fire. And then here's Todd Smith, this former Baptist preacher who didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, didn't speak in tongues, didn't believe that healing could be for today. He, in fact, actually felt from the Lord to go on a fast, to seek the Lord's face, not ask of anything for 21 days. Then after that fast, he saw in his baptismal tank a struggling preacher, fire and water appear for an 8-second open vision, fire and water. And the Lord said, you will baptize people in the Holy Spirit and fire. And so we had the honor of hosting him. And we saw many people healed, many people giving their lives to Jesus. And in one of our catch-ups, he said, this is what John Kilpatrick and Randy Clark imparted, the patterns and the rhythms of revival. The first phase, the stimulation phase, the things that we've been believing for, crying out for, and now they're here at our footstep. There's the miracles, the salvations, the prodigal sons and daughters coming home. Then after a little bit comes the sanctification phase. Those who come from the stimulation phase, all the exciting stuff, right? Now God wants to deal with a few things within the heart, right? It can't just always be this fun kind of ecstatic kind of gatherings, although they're good, but what's more important to the Lord is who you are. What's more important to God is your character, is your identity in Christ. Who are you really? When we go home from these revival meetings, when we go home from these amazing conferences, who are you really behind closed doors? Are you carrying the Father's heart? Are you representing Jesus? You know, in the Bible says that what is done in the dark will be exposed in the light, right? But also, he says in his word, close the door, go into your secret place, and if you seek me, I will reward you openly in public. There's this kind of like dichotomy that God wants us to choose in the secret place to either, I'm just going to go there. I didn't want to plan to preach for too long, so I'm just going to be a little bit blunt. Is that okay? With love, always with love. In the secret place, are we sinning or are we seeking? Are we looking at stuff that we're not meant to? And are we doing things that's causing harm to our soul, our spirit, and our body, that's bringing us further away from the knowledge and the presence of God because we have become too comfortable and too nourishing and caring for our old habits, and we're not willing to let things go? And because it feels good for a moment, we'd rather sin in the secret rather than seeking Him in the secret. Either choice will be brought to the public and light. We have a choice to make, and then the consequences will follow, right? Either you choose to sin or you choose to seek. And I say this with love because I really want to minister the fire of God tonight and open up the altar. So I just feel to just go straight in. Is that okay? That there's no kind of beating around the bush. It says this, Charles Spurgeon, a great Baptist preacher from the 1800s. He said, visit many good books. And who's read some really good books, right? But live in the Bible. All human books grow stale after a time, but with the Word of God, the desire to study it increases. I've tried to read Rich Dad Poor Dad twice over. I love the first time around. Second time around, it's like, yeah, I kind of know what's coming. I've loved How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie. First time around, great. Second time around, it's cool. Even Robert Morris, a well-known Christian author, The Blessed Life. I loved it first time around. How to have a generous heart and sow into the kingdom and see the miraculous blessing of God. But even that second time around, I thought, it's not like scriptures. It's not like the Bible. He is also known, Charles Spurgeon is also known for saying, a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Meaning, like, right, the old school Bibles, I've got the digital version tonight. When you go through your Bible over the course of your life, as you're reading it, highlighting it, you're turning the pages, over time, it's worn, right? It's hanging off its hinges. But a person who represents that kind of lifestyle, engrossed in the Word of God, you know, David said, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. And I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. How can you live according to his word? By knowing his word. By being washed by the word. Husbands, love your wives. I love you, Jess. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word. Joshua 15:3-4. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There is a washing, a cleansing over our soul and our spirit as we read the word of God, as we get to know the word of God. And not just a lighthearted read, not just a, here's my verse. Andrew Denton says, read your Bible every day. Rejoice always, and I say rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Done. Tick. That is my quota for the day. Done. No. Paul says to his spiritual son, Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you study, it means to be devoted in time and attention, a detailed investigation and analysis of what we're studying. Paul says to Timothy, you know, while you're on your throne or the John, just casually read. No, it says study the word, investigate, devote yourself so that you may rightly divide the word of truth. Because guess what? If you can rightly divide the word of truth, you can also wrongly divide the word of truth. And I've heard some doozies over the years. Our scripture has been used and manipulated for people's, I guess, justification in their lifestyle of sin. We were married before God. And so now we're intimate. We're okay to be intimate. I go, I'm sorry. Read the Bible again, right? How can you have a certificate for divorce in scriptures unless it's registered properly with authorities? Before God first and before governing authorities. That in ancient Galilean weddings as well, that Jesus would often use as examples for his return and his love for us. But did you know that the bride and groom, when they were going through the ceremony to be married, it was a public ceremony before the elders and rulers of a town, usually at the city gates, before a public gathering of witnesses. It isn't this private ceremony between you and your lover and Jesus. Can I just say that outright? It doesn't justify the sin of fornication, which means to sleep with your partner before marriage. And I thank God, as a young man, reading this word, I realized, there is something that I need to change in what I'm doing. There is something that I'm not just hurting the Lord's heart, but hurting my own heart, my own call in God, my own peace. Blessed are the pure in heart, the Bible says, for they shall see God. What is the pure in heart? What does that mean? And if you want to know and go into another level of understanding the word, the Old Testament is written in what language? Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek or ancient Greek. And so if you ever want to know what do these words really mean, it's worth investigating. If you're in the New Testament, go to the Greek. And the Greek said, there's no Greeks. Opa. The Koreans also say that, right? Opa, got him stuff. Anyways, the Greek word for pure in Matthew 5:8, when Jesus said those famous words in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God, is katharos. clean, blameless, unstained from guilt. The Greek word for heart is cardia, which is referring to the physical heart, but also the spiritual center of our lives. It's where our thoughts, desires, sense of purpose, will, understanding, and motives lie. And when we read the Word of God, the Bible says it is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder bone and marrow, dividing soul and spirit, and weighing up the thoughts and the intents of the heart. For practical purposes, I love what Andrew said last week. The Bible, the paper Bible, it's in my bag somewhere. It's romantic, right? You got your highlighted pages. It's like a beautiful romance novel. It is. It's God's love story to you and me, and how He saw ahead of time, before the creation of the world, the Lamb of God had to be slain for you and me. He knew, and He was willing to go through all that just to be with you and me. So the romantic version, the paper version, I still love that. I get my little highlighters out, my little color-coded system, and I highlight things. But practically, what's more functional is this, because we carry this around a lot. And I often have this in my ears, in the gym or driving, when I'm walking, when I'm running, a mixture of the Word of God, a mixture of worship. And speaking about the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder bone and marrow, thoughts and intents of the heart and motives. I was in, I think it was Luke chapter 1, the song of Mary and the mighty deeds of the Lord, she's singing, and how He has scattered the proud in heart. I remember driving along that underpass, you know, where Nissan is, just near Derrimut Gym, and driving asunder the proud in heart. And the Lord highlighted to me a pride issue with my heart. I just started to weep. I had to pull over and repent and say, I'm so sorry, God. I'm so sorry for holding on to this pride issue. I want to be completely clean. I want to be completely pure before You. I just want to see You. I just want to be close to You, and I don't want any single thing holding me back from having a close and intimate relationship with my Father. He will love you regardless. But there is a difference between God loving you regardless and God being close to you and entrusting you with the secrets of His heart, with entrusting you with blessings that He knows won't ruin you. So yesterday with the Frankston Festival, and as a result of, we had to go to Cheeky Squire, yeah, right, for dinner for Jess's cousin's birthday. But prior to that, we decided to reward the kids, just generally speaking, because they've been generally good kids. Opa, Dutch grandpa, had saved up all these cans and bottles in Victoria. Now you can get 10 cents per can, per bottle. I remember, who remembers growing up? Only in South Australia. Ah, yeah, fine. You go have your fun, South Australia. But my kids love it because they don't have a job. They're too young, right? 12, 8, 6. And now here's Opa. I mean, here we are with 3 bagfuls of cans and bottles in our boot going to the recycling depot. I think, Zane, you guys cashed in, didn't you? $60 to the children. Oh, my goodness. How much are you drinking? Coca-Cola. And they get $15. So $7.50 each. They cut a deal. And we're at the showgrounds, the showgrounds part of the festival. They're looking at the prices of the show bags. And the Jelly Belly show bag doesn't go for cheap these days. They're $12. They know their budget, and they're kind of like turned away in dismay. So, oh, well, maybe we'll just play a game. And I thought, you know what? I'm a good father. I'm a good father, like my Heavenly Father. And these children have been really good. They've been so sweet. They haven't really complained much for the day. I said, you know what? Let me spot the difference, and we'll still play a game. How does that sound? Sounds good. That is just like our Father, but He is a million times better than that. But also, can I present something, Alana? If you were, she's not listening, she's zoned out. She's literally zoned out, she's colouring in while I'm talking about her. If she was playing up at the Waterfront Festival, if she had maybe a bit of an entitlement mentality, you, you get me this, you get me that. You know, and I, maybe I want that from my brother. I want my share. You know, stuff him. Give me the 15 bucks. How do you think that would make me feel as a father? Would you think I would want to reward such a behavior? That heart, it isn't attractive, right, as parents, right? You would want your kids to have a pure, clean heart, a generous heart. In fact, some of the things that we felt stepping into this year is that as we look into what does it really mean to have clean hands and a pure heart, a life of holiness, a life of purity with our intentions and motives, laying down worldly competition in the body of Christ. That is sometimes an ugly thing to witness between the body members of Christ. That we think because we flow in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, we're it and a bit. And don't worry about listening to maybe those who don't know the benefits of miracle working power. That we have our blinkers on and we think, yep, we've got it. No one else has got it. How arrogant is that? Man, there is so much to learn from those who've really gone deep in the Word. And perhaps they do need sometimes an encounter with a crazy Pentecostal to help them show what is this Word that you've been studying. I remember going to a Baptist youth camp 2017, Burnside, Anglesey. And my friend from Bible College is a Baptist youth pastor, and I love the unity that we have in Bible colleges, right, representing different denominations. And he asked me to come in and speak to his youth. My very first public preaching gig. And he goes, and I go, what do you want me to speak on? He goes, oh, just what you Pentecostals do. Miracles, healings, signs and wonders. Cool. I fasted, I prayed, and on the two-hour drive to Anglesey, 2 hours in tongues. And I remember the pre-service youth camp meeting with the leaders. Holy Ghost move in signs, wonders, and miracles. And the Baptist youth leaders were freaking out. What does that mean? What does that look like? I touched on revival history in Australia, the prophetic words from Smith Wigglesworth over this nation. And we baptized the kids in Holy Ghost and fire. And what I loved the most was in the back corner of that hall was this little girl wailing. She had, I didn't know, I didn't even ask for this. I just said, Holy Spirit, would you have your way and move? And I love that with an open heart, I didn't even ask this, but Holy Spirit healed this girl who had cutting scars on her arms. And all glory to God. Only God can do that. But I love how we, as a church, we've made a commitment, especially because we are going to be hosting Awakening Australia, that we would put our secondary differences aside. Do you pray in tongues? Great. Don't you pray in tongues? Fine, it's up to you. But we will unite that there is only one way to salvation. There's no other name given by God under heaven by which man can be saved. It is only through Jesus, and we will unite on that. And so I love that we have a close working relationship with the Frankston Ministers Network representing Catholics, Baptists, Anglicans, Independents, and so forth. I really want to kill the idea of competition and comparison. Let's love on our brothers, let's love on our sisters, and let's labor together. And we will do that this Good Friday, Frankston Foreshore. We've been asked to host the worship, and we've been asked to also host the mass baptisms for the second time in the 30-year, almost 30-year history. Praise God. Clean hands, pure hearts, loving our brothers and sisters in the faith. A life of crucifying the old nature, living out the new nature. A life that finally puts down old habits of habitual sin, whether secret or public. A life that walks in the Spirit and not the flesh. A life that is set on seeking God's face. A life that will stand in God's holy place. A life that welcomes the King of Glory in to strengthen, build, love, and surprise us in ways that only He can. As I near a close, initially I said we thought it might be the King of Glory, but we really need to go through sanctification. What does that mean? It's just a fancy word to be set apart. You know, the Bible talks about in a house there are items made of regular materials, of wood and clay, for regular purposes. Then there are items made of gold and silver, used for more noble purposes. Therefore, cleanse yourself so that you may be used for the latter, for more noble purposes. God has a call for every single person in this room, a calling on your life. And He's not going to rush it with you. He's not going to push you into the deep end if you're not ready to handle it yet. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be full of His goodness, His mercy, His love, His power. But it's also going to test you. It's also going to be used to perhaps round out some of the rough edges that you've been carrying for so long, perhaps for years. He's going to use this next season in your life, if you're willing to stay the course and be sanctified, to be purified, to live a holy life, to let go of things that have held you back, to become more and more like Him. That when people talk to you and with you, they'll say things like, there's something different about you. I mentioned how there's the stimulation phase, the sanctification phase, the third phase, the shock and awe. Greater miracles, greater things starting to unfold in your life. It's like Joseph, when he was betrayed, when he was falsely accused by his brothers, when he was sold into slavery, thrown into prison. But after a season of time, after God had worked on his character, he was now in a position of authority and power before Pharaoh. The shock and awe, even to his own family. I can imagine even to himself. Then there's the serve phase that we realize this isn't actually about us anyway. This is about others. That Joseph himself, after he had gone through all those things, he can say, what the enemy meant for evil, God has turned for good, for the salvation of many people's lives. That He wants to use your life, friends, as a mantle for His glory, to radiate His goodness, His power, that your family will be in shock and awe as you serve them, that the body of Christ and the wider body of Christ will be in shock and awe as you go low and serve them and say, how can I help? How can I be of service to you?